KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and former President Trump in North Carolina and Virginia today urging voters to get out to the polls.
We're just 3 days away from the greatest political victory in world history. But it only happens if you get out and vote.
More than 70 million Americans have already cast ballots in early and absentee voting. The former president and Vice President Kamala Harris both campaigning in North Carolina today. Harris earlier also held a rally in Atlanta.
If you give me the chance to fight on your behalf as president, there is nothing in the world that will stand in my way.
In Spain, the death toll rising, more than 200 dead after this week's historic flash flooding. The Valencia region hit the hardest. More than 50,000 runners gearing up for Sunday's New York City Marathon, the famous race winding through the city's five boroughs. Security also heightened. This is ABC News. It is time to fall back. Daylight saving ends this weekend, meaning we get an extra hour. But for some, the changing of the clocks also brings unwanted changes.
At 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, daylight saving time ends and standard time is back. With winter approaching, our days become shorter. And for a lot of people, that lost hour of daylight can bring on something called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. It's described as a feeling of panic, fear, and anxiety all rolled into one. And it affects millions. Light therapy can help. So can yoga, walking, and antidepressants. If you're feeling it, especially after changing your clock, call your doctor. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Just over a month after Hurricane Helene devastated western North Carolina, the historic Biltmore Estate is reopening today. They held their annual tree-raising ceremony. As it ushers in the holiday season, it is one of the busiest times of year for them. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's voter ID law can be a nightmare for college students. They can use their student ID, but only if it's compliant with state rules, and most aren't. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
On some campuses, students need to request a special ID that includes their photo, legal name, signature, issuing date, and expiration date. Kristen Hansen with Common Cause in Wisconsin works with college students to help them vote. She says state law just makes it difficult.
This is one of the things that is a mystery, is a school already knows the student is who they say they are. They've already provided identification to the school. And so the ID that the school gives should be enough without all this other nonsense attached to it.
Hansen says another challenge for students is providing proof of residency, as some can change addresses every year they're enrolled. Meanwhile, out-of-state students face additional hurdles in registering to vote. Molly Ford, an out-of-state senior at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, is very familiar with these hurdles. This is her first time voting in a presidential election, but she voted in the state's general election 2 years ago. She says she almost missed one of her class finals because she had to run back to her dorm to get a document after having already stood in line.
My friend that was in the class was like, "You're crazy. I would have just not done that." And I was like, "Well, it was important to me to vote in this election.
Ford says although her school has been proactive about promoting the student vote, it would be helpful to know more about what exactly is needed to cast a ballot. You can get that information online at myvote.wi.gov. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 50s. It'll be a little bit breezy out of the south. For tonight, chance of rain, low of 35. Rain is likely for Sunday. Some heavy rainfall is possible. Windy again with a high near 50. Rain Sunday night and 42.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live on location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. We are in Green Bay, Wisconsin at the home studios of WGBW. It is the 2nd of November. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are 3 days until Election Day. Trigvi Olson, welcome into this special edition of the show. It's the first time we've ever done an actual show on a Saturday, but it's a big day. Of course, kind of a lead-in here. The first half hour, some of our stations in Green Bay and in Richland Center and Racine, Kenosha, other places are going to break away at the bottom of the hour. Mike Keller and the entire crew have the Badger pregame show. And a reminder, you can listen to that pregame and the Badgers taking on Iowa, down in Iowa, a little bit later on this afternoon for free on the Civic Media app. You can download it. Simply go to your favorite app store, Apple, Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and then it will take about a minute. It's free, like we say. Gail King calls it a real deal. So how about that? The Civic Media app, you can listen to the Badgers this afternoon. So I'll talk a little bit about the Badger game. Of course, the Packers play it right here in Green Bay. It will what could be a season-defining game against their arch rival Detroit Lions in the NFC North. Could be in the Central North, whatever you want to call it, whether it's now or later on. But Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, is here. He's going to be talking a little Packer football as well. And guys, perhaps the best part of today, the second, you know what it is today? Want to take a guess?
What is it?
Mike, want to take a guess?
Just a couple of days from the election. I mean, now that's what's on everybody's mind, it seems like, yeah?
Today is my favorite night of the year because we turn back the clocks 1 hour.
Back.
And I finally get my hour of sleep back from the spring.
That's good. Well, you know, and so today you're in Greece. Where have you been all week? You had a new city every day, right?
Well, yeah, Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here. Yeah, we started out in Madison, then went to Viroqua, Wisconsin. We did this show there, did a meet and greet lacrosse, did the show at Osseo at the Norske Nook, did a meet and greet in Eau Claire, did the show in our studios at Wisconsin Rapids.
No, we weren't in the studios in Wisconsin Rapids. We were sitting outside in 40 degree weather. Thankfully, I had my electric vest, which I'll be wearing at Lambeau tomorrow as well. But yeah, Todd tried to freeze us to death.
Well, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and looked good.
We did a meet and greet in Stevens Point. Then yesterday, we did the show thanks to our great people here, Todd Michaels, the crew at Green Bay, relationship with the Appleton, Wisconsin, or I should say the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers.
Yeah.
And we did the show from the stadium.
So then tonight we fall back and get an extra hour of sleep, and then the game is until 3:25 tomorrow for the Packers. So, you know, that's a great way to get
There's
right
lots of time to be playing craps at the Oneida Casino.
There is.
With my River Falls buddies.
There you go.
Just roll the dice and see
there
what
you go.
Mike, you're going to stick around for a second because we're going to turn to sports. Big game, big day for the Packers tomorrow here at Lambeau. And, of course, a big day today for the Wisconsin Badgers down in Iowa. What I think could be, again, a season-defining game. My personal feeling is they don't get a win today in Iowa. They could go on a four-game losing streak.
They could. And I've got some news regarding Jordan Love, so I'll have that for a couple of minutes, okay?
Ooh. That's what you call a teaser right there.
That is a teaser
from Mike Clemens. Right now, we are honored to be joined by another member of our Civic Media staff, the wonderful Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, joins us live via StreamYard. He is also our political editor. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. You had a great story. For those who don't subscribe, what the heck's wrong with you, first of all? Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area and at Civic Media. You had a great story today on this part of our state politically, Green Bay and the Fox Valley. Tell folks a little bit the nuance, the thrust of this piece you wrote today.
Well, yeah, first, thanks for having me on, fellas. Always good to talk. And yeah, I spent some time a couple weeks ago in the Fox Valley and Green Bay. I think it is an incredibly important swing area in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I'm a UW Oshkosh graduate myself, so spent a lot of time in and around the region growing up there. But yeah, I got a chance to talk to a bunch of the candidates that were running for state assembly, state senate, up and down the Fox Valley and Green Bay. And I think, you know, people often talk about, you know, the political calculus in Wisconsin involving, you know, what's going on in the Wow counties or what's going on in the margins in Dane County or what's going on in kind of swingier, you know, the 2016 terminology of the Obama-Trump voters in Western Wisconsin. I think sometimes the Fox Valley and Green Bay can get a little bit overlooked in that larger mix. And I think this could be the place that determines who wins up and down the ticket in Wisconsin for this presidential election, Senate election, state legislature, all the way through. There's so many interesting races happening there. So I got a chance to talk with a lot of people who are really, you know, knocking doors, doing the work, and met some really terrific people. And I think it is, you know, so hopefully you folks will take the time to really sit with it and read it. This is kind of meant to be, you know, your long weekend read right before election day on Tuesday to really get a sense of what's changing in this, because I think it is in so many ways a microcosm of the kind of colliding political trends that we see in the state of Wisconsin, where rural areas are getting redder, you know, suburban and urban areas are getting bluer. But I think there's a lot of places that are right in the middle there in the Fox Valley. Some of these mid-sized cities, Neenah, Menasha, Appleton, Oshkosh, up and through the valley there, that have shifted towards Democrats incrementally. Not the, some of the big shifts that we're seeing somewhere, some other places, but election after election, race after race, we're seeing, you know, places like Appleton that voted, you know, maybe majority for Scott Walker in 2014, now like a 16-20 point Democratic advantage. So things, and these, you know, really matter at the end of the day in Wisconsin, where, you know, so many of our statewide races are decided by just, you know, a few thousand votes here and there.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We spent a couple of days now in the Valley, now in Green Bay as well. Going to be here another day. We're going to the Packer game tomorrow. Cannot wait. We had Dr. Kristen Lierley, the Democratic nominee for U.S. Congress, the 8th here. That's certainly the big, sexy race on the ticket. But as Dan pointed out, there's a lot of down-ballot candidates. We met with a couple of them last night at Hinterland, along with Mike Murphy, by the way, was there. Mike was there, too. But Mark Murphy
walked in
there
with him.
We weren't actually together, but he walked in ahead of us. But a lot of these local candidates for assembly, Trigvi, to Dan's point, this could be a really exciting night come Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, it may be an exciting night. I think it would be exciting. Some people probably less exciting. It's sort of like the game tomorrow. It depends on your perspective, how exciting it'll be afterwards, since we have both Lions fans and Packer fans in our group. But, you know, here's the thing, to Dan's point. Politics is a game of small numbers, and oftentimes the thing that people who watch politics versus those who do like what I do don't realize is it's incremental, right? Like a 5-point shift, you may go from losing 20, you know, by 20 points to losing by 15 in that in an area, and that actually is the margin you need to win across the whole thing. To Dan's point,
the Fox River Valley, particularly Green Bay County and the counties coming into it, you know, if you were to look at the state of Wisconsin, this race is in all likelihood going to be decided by the counties west of 94 from Madison up to St. Croix and across on Highway 29 to Green Bay, and the counties that touch that. Yeah. Well, what are the common denominators? A lot of them have, the bigger communities have public universities in them. That is going to have an impact down ballot. Dan also had in his stuff he's been putting out a really interesting factoid from the Marquette poll, which is Harris is running 3.5 points higher amongst college-educated males than Biden did. It's quite a bit higher. It's, what was it, 11, Dan, with women, college-educated women?
With college-educated women in Wisconsin, it's like a 36-point advantage.
Yeah, but I think it was 11 points. It was 11 Biden, points. Yeah. I think it's 11 points higher than Biden.
That sounds right.
That is a big deal, and those voters are, quite frankly, in places like Appleton and Green Bay because you have the colleges, St. Lawrence, and you have UWGB, and you know they're in Eau Claire County, La Crosse. It's going to be really interesting. If those hold, that's transformational if they stay Democratic down ballot because a lot of those people are conditioned to vote for Republicans, and the vast majority of Evers Johnson voters, quite frankly, in the last election were college-educated white people.
Dan Schaefer, in your research, looking at the numbers here, just in your gut from somebody who really knows this very, very well, what is the big takeaway from this part of the state? Is it the changing dynamics economically, the fact that some of these larger manufacturing places have closed down? What is the big change up here that could prove a shift politically on election night?
Yeah, I think it is. It does speak to kind of the changing economy in the region as well, and I got into that a little bit. In the piece, I think traditionally you think of the Fox Valley as it's the paper valley, right? There was a lot of paper manufacturers, paper mills up and through the valley. But I think what's interesting about this is that it has not shifted in a way that has made this like a hollowed out old factory town, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't so reliant on one place. So you have, I think, what's developing as a more diversified economy in the Fox Valley. You have more college graduates in the region with professional services and healthcare industry and a lot of the legacy manufacturers that are kind of adapting to a new world as well. So you not only have, you know, the long-term, you know, a lot of union history with a lot of those manufacturing jobs, And some of those have gone away. And I think you look back to when Trump did win in 2016, there was a big shift in that region towards Republicans. I think each of the Bow counties, Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago, shifted towards Trump by like 8 to 10 point margins. Mm-hmm. But since then, it's been going the other direction. It's been incrementally shifting back towards Democrats throughout the Trump era. And I think the economy is part of that. And the economy that you're seeing, you know, a more diversified, successful economic region where, you know, that now the challenges are, you know, housing prices are getting a little bit too high because people are moving back to the region or staying there and not leaving after they graduate college, whatever it might be. So I think it kind of, you know, that it doesn't fit that stereotype that so many places in 2016 did, where it was, you know, these former manufacturing centers kind of grasping for a new way forward. I think there's a pretty successful diversification of the economy there. You know, some of the people I talk to in Green Bay like to point out that their unemployment rate there is less than 1%. Yeah. You know, it's close to full employment in Green Bay. So there's a lot of indicators that things are going in a positive direction.
Dan
Obviously,
Schaefer,
still some challenges. But,
30
yeah.
seconds. What have I not asked you? What do people need to know about this race, particularly in the Fox Valley? 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's just, I always talk about the state legislature and in Green Bay in particular, that area, it's a clean slate. There's an open race in the state Senate, three open seat races in the state assembly seats that make up that state Senate district. You talked about Kristen Lierley's race too. It's really a clean slate there. So up and down the ballot, people have new opportunities to vote for Democrats, vote for candidates that they may have not seen, had direct contact with before.
Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area Civic Media's political editor. Thank you so much. We'll see you on election night, Dan. Stay tuned. Mike Clemens is next. Thank you, Dan. Perfect. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looks like those.
It's the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, a special Saturday edition. I feel like a print publication here, a special edition. We're glad to have you along live from our studios at WGBW 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay. Todd Michaels, Mino and the Mayor, Mark Becker, all the folks, Pete Schwabe, all the great folks that originate out of this studio. We appreciate you opening your home to us for this weekend. Trivi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, here with me, going to talk education at the bottom of the hour. But right now, getting ready for some of our stations along the network and a breakaway at the bottom of the hour for Mike Keller's pregame show on the Badger Radio Network. The Badgers taking on Iowa in a huge game this afternoon. A couple of final scores for you from college football. Our dreaded Minnesota Gophers, the Flexters, somehow beat the Burts of Illinois. Number 24, Illinois, falling to Minnesota 25-17 in a huge game in the Big Ten. It was Ohio State winning at Penn State 20-13, and Northwestern, it took overtime, Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, but in the game of who wanted to be last in the Big Ten, I guess, it was Northwestern pulling out a win over Purdue. Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, thanks for taking time for us on a Saturday. What do you make of those early scores?
Well, a nice little win for Ohio State over Penn State. I'm a little surprised by that. I tell you, that game last week, I was watching Mike Tressel's defense, the Badgers defense, and I thought they did a pretty good job of sticking up because the Penn State offensive line is huge.
They are. I was at the game.
I mean, huge. Three of those guys are just monsters coming off the bus.
Yeah.
But you know, the Badgers did a good job rotating, you know, their defensive line in that game. In general, about this season, there was a key moment, Todd, about week three or four, and there was Luke Fickell on Monday, and I thought this was a very candid comment because he's talking about his offense and Phil Longo, and you know, you've lost Van Dyke, it's your quarterback, and all, and he said, you know, at the end of the day, we got to stop running 4, 5, 6 running backs in a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just, like, the light bulb went on. I mean, that's when they said, you know what, it's Towie Walker, and then the other guys fill in between that. But we've got to establish our 1, our 2, maybe a 3. And there's just something about that. I mean, I was just even talking to some Packers about this week, like the right guard Sean Ryan, and how they got Josh Jacobs going last week against the Jaguars. There, I mean, and I even think about it back in high school football, you know, playing Madison West and East and those guys. It's just the running back, his first 4, 5, 6, 7 carries, it's pound for 2 or 3 yards, pound for 2 or 3 yards. And then the line gets into a sink. You wear down your opponent a little bit, and all of a sudden they're busting one for 38 yards on the outside.
Right.
And that's been the biggest shift change, I think, offensively for the Badgers in the last month, right?
Right, absolutely. Braden Locke, last year he got his big break down there in Iowa, coming off the bench. He cannot have a turnover today in order for the Badgers to have a real chance. Their big running back down there, Caleb Johnson, ran for over 1,100 yards this year, 16 touchdowns, averaging 8 yards a carry. He is a horse that the Wisconsin defense has to stop today.
And now French has got a different quarterback in there today, right?
Yes.
Brandon Sullivan kid, because McNamara got hurt last week. So they got it, but that kid's got a pretty good arm too, you know. So just what I saw from their highlights from before. But yeah, it this will be an interesting game. I think Iowa's favored by 3.
Yeah, I think so.
But the Heartland Trophy's on the line,
That's right, the Heartland Trophy. Come on. I'm taking the Badgers in this one, guys, by a field goal. We'll see if that works or not. Again, pregame show coming up at the bottom of the hour from some of our stations along the way. Mike Keller and the entire gang on the Badger Sports Network standing by. All right, Packers owner Trigvi Olson joins us in this capacity. He's been waiting to get you on the set with us, Mike. Oh. Thanks for coming down. You were teasing earlier some late-breaking news on Jordan Love.
Well, the thing is, everybody's been asking me all week, do you think he's going to play? And it's like, well, we'll know about 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Correct.
Because that's when you've got to make your roster changes and if you're going to elevate guys. Mm-hmm. And so at 3 o'clock today, you got to tweet it out because I got that note here from Nate over at the Packers. They elevated a defensive back, Kamal Haddon. And it's like, oh, but see.
Sean Clifford.
If Sean Clifford, there you go. Mm-hmm. From the practice squad, your QB3, if he gets elevated, that means, you know, we need him as a backup to Malik Willis. Well, he's going to remain. He's still got another elevation to go. So that means that Jordan is likely going to go for this game tomorrow. Is going to start. And I was out there at Thursday's practice, and we had this huge downpour Thursday, you know, in the middle of the day. I mean, it looked like a car wash out there. And Jordan's out there in first in the line doing ball security, high-stepping, you know, taking the ball, coaches with, you know, boxing gloves, punching him, and then out there doing rollouts and throwing the ball. It's like, this is a guy who looks like he wants to go.
Yeah.
And the groin injury, I found this interesting because I asked him about this at the end of our little huddle with him on Wednesday. I said, you know, he was a big high school basketball player and then football. And any of us, if you did any high school sport, I was a catcher in high school. You know, groin injuries are just come with the job, right?
Right?
He said, you know, I never had a groin, but I never had one this severe. That's for so. So that's why he was in such pain when he went down twice in the game against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think how, you know, the Malik Willis part of the Packers season, right? A, it's a good story from a story standpoint. B, I just think, you know, you go on social media, Gutekunst just gets beat up all the time. And I guess it goes with the job, right? It's a little bit like being a campaign manager.
Every GM does.
Right, every GM does. It's every campaign manager does. That said, like, if you look at his whole arc, he hits more than he misses. And he has hit pretty big on stuff. Like, Malik Willis, that's a big deal that he pulled that off.
How about this draft?
I know.
How about this draft? Right. Ron Wolf said if you can get three guys on the field, you know, by November, you had a pretty good draft. He's got six or seven out there.
And it's the second draft in a row. Look at Kraft, right? Like, look at what he came out of the previous draft with. And it's not just, you know, high picks who are hitting. You know, he's hitting in the middle rounds.
One concern I've got is offensive line, and this started when last weekend in Jacksonville, Andre Dillard, your six-year NFL veteran, your former first-round pick for the Eagles and last year with the Titans, was a healthy scratch.
Right.
So it's like if Zach Tom at right tackle or Rashid Walker at left tackle, who banged up his knee in that game, who's going to be the next offensive tackle?
They've Jenkins.
Kadeem, well, I don't know.
Jenkins is a swing guy.
You know what? Josh Myers at center is doubtful. He's really bad left wrist, and I think Elton Jenkins is going to be snapping the ball to Jordan Love tomorrow. So anyway, that's something to watch in terms of the depth at the offensive line because the Dillard, you know, in terms of a miss, that's a miss right now. A
little over 1 minute left, Mike Clemens, our sports reporter. What are the keys to this game in a huge, huge matchup with the Lions tomorrow?
I thought it would be a time of possession, keep the ball away from a hot Lions defense, and the Packers don't care. It's like analytics. They want to put the ball up, and they want to score. And if you have five drives, you score on three, you throw a pick on one, and you have a three and out the other, that's a good day for them. That's the way they think. So in terms of Josh Jacobs for 16 yards and 8 or 9 minute drives, that's just not in there. And keep your defense off the field. They don't care about it because you know what? The best unit the Packers have got right now is defense.
Yeah. I hope he's swinging it around like Lynn Dickey against the Redskins in 88, whatever it was.
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
48, 47 or something.
You know, it's probably we don't have time, but I have a crazy story about the Tampa snowstorm game. So you know that Tampa snowstorm game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was at the game in Baltimore with my daughters, and the guy standing next to us played for Tampa in that game, and I was in the stands.
Oh,
it was crazy. So we had such a good conversation.
Mike Clemens, any predictions?
I'll take the Packers by two, Todd.
Packers by two? You heard it here
Packers
first.
48-47 on a missed Lions kick at the end.
Come on. Thank you, Mike Clemens, for stopping by. We appreciate it so much. You can hear him all the time on the Civic Media Radio Network. We appreciate it. Mike, stay tuned. Some local education talk right here on a special Saturday edition of the All Ball Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and former President Trump in North Carolina and Virginia today urging voters to get out to the polls.
We're just 3 days away from the greatest political victory in world history, but it only happens if you get out and vote.
More than 70 million Americans have already cast ballots in early and absentee voting. The former president and Vice President Kamala Harris both campaigning in North Carolina today. Harris earlier also held a rally in Atlanta.
If you give me the chance to fight on your behalf as president, there is nothing in the world that will stand in my way.
In Spain, the death toll rising, more than 200 dead after this week's historic flash flooding. The Valencia region hit the hardest. More than 50,000 runners gearing up for Sunday's New York City Marathon, the famous race winding through the city's five boroughs. Security also heightened. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers take on Iowa. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, it's Wisconsin against the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight at Kinnick Stadium. Both teams 5-3, kick off a little after 6:30. NBA, the Bucks are at home against the Cavaliers tonight, trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Damian Lillard says when he was with the Trailblazers, he'd just take over games. How hard is that now?
It's hard because, I mean, my entire career, I've always been somebody who, if I can do one thing, I can take over. You know, I think I've joined a new team and the situation is different. I understand it is different, so I have to try to, you know, find a way to not just go back to what I've always done, because it's probably not always necessary. So I think that's probably the most difficult part, is like when things seem like it's getting out of control or the going is getting tough, you know, I'm able to put my hands on it a little bit more. And I think just not being in that role is, you know, it's a little bit more difficult.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly cloudy sky for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, cloudy sky with areas of rain around, highs upper 40s to 50. And rain chances continue on Monday, a high of 60 degrees. Showers taper Tuesday. It's 55 right now.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48 to 47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio, where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Gelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
welcome to the program, both of you. We really appreciate you being here. Our pleasure. Denise, let's start with you. Tell folks what organizations you're with and what role you have.
Right. I'm with Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're a statewide advocacy network for high-quality public schools and ensuring that kids, no matter their zip code, have access to a great public school. And it's being challenged right now. Mm. I also have a little group called Champions for Green Bay Public Schools, and we work in the advocacy side of Green Bay's public schools and keeping them going and strong, and they have a referendum.
And I think it's so important to talk about this because we've heard a lot about, of course, the presidential race and the congressional race here in the 8th. You've got Dr. Kristen Lierley on the ballot, a super important race, state legislative races. We have a statewide referendum on whether we should amend the Constitution, but there hasn't been a whole lot of talk so far, maybe because it's been so overshadowed, about these very important school referenda, which at the end of the day may have the greatest dramatic impact on folks' day-to-day lives.
You're totally right, Todd. And there's 120 of them statewide that are happening, and that's 137 questions on the ballot, because some school districts are not only going for an operating referendum, but they're going for a construction referendum. Mm. And so that means, which is better known as a capital referendum. So that means they're having to ask voters to help pay the bills to keep the doors open, and also to fix their buildings, because the state of Wisconsin hasn't done their job for the last 16 years of giving school districts a cost of living increase statewide. It means a difference of $3,300 a child per school district.
Mm-hmm. Colleen, please introduce yourself. What organization are you with?
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
I am with the Unified for the Kids of De Pere for the De Pere School District. Mm-hmm. So
you're specifically working on De Pere.
Yep, just De Pere for our referendum. So we actually had a referendum back in April, and our group started with that one, and then we knew that we would be having another one for maintenance this fall now.
And you just nailed it. I think a lot of people think, these have referendums where they need to build a new high school or something like that. But we have gotten down to, in my opinion, being Trigvy and I are former Republicans, both left the party. I just feel the legislature has grossly underfunded our local school districts to the point now where you're having to have referenda just to keep the doors open and the lights on. Meanwhile, we have still $4 billion sitting in the coffers down in Madison. That has to be enormously frustrating.
Yes, and especially like growing up, I grew up in Green Bay. Referendum used to mean like a big project, like a new school or a new addition. Now it's just for leaking roofs, leaking walls, our floors are leaking too, having safe ADA accessible entrances into our schools. And even one of our schools is looking to have a safe and secure vestibule to enter the school. So even just to have safe entry now.
Well, and that we've seen this in, unfortunately, seems like almost every month there's at least one school shooting. And the one down closest to us, I think it was in Mount Horeb, where they attributed having a lockable vestibule as probably saving more lives.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's critically important for our children. And I think that fortunately for us, I feel like we do have a lot of good community support with both parents and teachers and staff, but also the community around us. But some of these questions can be so confusing. The only number that you see on our referendum question is 22 million. So especially for our district, having just had a referendum, it can be confusing. And, you know, we were just saying that we could get a little bit of referendum fatigue and just think you guys are just, you know, asking for more money.
Oh, Trigvy, I want to bring you in, but before we do, I want to make sure we get this out there for people listening, particularly at WGBW in this part of the state, for this De Pere referendum. Tell folks what the truth is here, what this is actually going through, if this passes.
Yep. So this is going for critical maintenance needs, safety and security. So it's going to be for fixing a lot of our roofs. 5 out of the 6 schools is just to repair the roofs. It's new HVAC systems, mechanical units, the safe and secure entry into Dickinson Elementary School. For us, it would be an increase of 34 cents to our mill rate. So that would bring our mill rate to $6.85.
Trigvy?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the, you know, the system as it was set up, you know, really goes back to the mid-90s, right?
You were there.
I was there. And there were real issues that needed to be solved as it related to funding of rural schools and property taxes. And they set it up with a stool with three legs. And what, you know, like anything else, law and unintended consequences, no one expected that it wouldn't be updated for 34 years because of dysfunction and vilification of schools, I would say, to a degree, and in some ways, you know, an emphasis more on the left. Sometimes they emphasize teacher salaries, not saying that teachers aren't unpaid, but teacher salaries rather than sort of what really is important, which is this. In the communities across Wisconsin, and Wisconsin is an amazing place, the core of our small towns and our bigger towns are the public schools. Mm-hmm. It's where people get together. And now we have one leg of the stool. A stool doesn't stand with one leg. Right. And the legislature needs to get together and find common ground to address it the same way, quite frankly, that people like Morris Andrews and Tommy Thompson and Tom Loftus, Republicans and Democrats, worked together to solve it 34 years ago.
Denise, I want to bring one of your colleagues here, but before we do it, anything else that we need to know about this DePeer referendum?
Come out and vote. It's not for, I guess, one of our biggest messages. It is not for a new school. There right. was kind of some rumor around that this was going to be going to a new high school, but we are not looking to build a new high school yet. That will come in the future. But for right now, this is just to maintain our schools and just to have a normal amount of repairs that we haven't been able to get to over the past 10 years.
Fair enough. All right. Very good. Thank you very much, Denise. My Colleen. I'm looking at all these names.
I know.
Sometimes, but Colleen.
All right. Thank you
very much. Appreciate you stopping by. Now we go to Denise. Denise, we go ahead and change mics here. Talk to us about, you're somebody who's very active in this area, but also across the state. You've seen this, not just in this region, but again, we were talking last night about, I think it was 80-some referendums last time around. How many public school referendums are we at this election cycle across the state?
Well, there were over 80 of them in April, and then we're at 120 right now for November. And we already know from schools saying to us that if we don't pass this in November, we're going back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and here's the important thing that everybody needs to understand, and that is this is not because of mismanagement of public schools.
Right.
Not at all.
This is called lack of funding.
Correct.
You know, and you know, when you have to replace an HVAC system, you're talking a big investment. You know, when you have to change an ADA compliant bathroom, it's a big investment.
Yeah.
You know, Green Bay is going to go to a referendum for $183 million, and their taxes there's no tax impact because they've been such good providers and maintenance of their financial network.
Going to bring another person here at the table. Again, we are live on a special edition of the All Ball Show at our home and the studios here at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. Andrea Pasqualuce, I'm not even going to try it. I'm going to mess it up. Welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself better than I could and who you're with.
Thanks. My name is Andrea Pasqualuce. I'm
one of the Pasqualuce. Very good.
I'm one of the organizers of a group called Advocates for Ashwaubenon Public Schools. We also are going to referendum on Tuesday for Ashwaubenon Schools.
What's the big issue for this referendum in Ashwaubenon? Are we talking maintenance? Are we talking building? What's on the ballot?
Yep. We're looking at an operational referendum. So back in 2020, our community passed a referendum so we could increase mental health supports for our students. So this referendum is simply asking our community to maintain what they approved in 2020 so we can continue to have the positions to help kiddos, not so much in the classroom. It's more the things that are affecting them outside of the classroom that they're bringing into the classroom that we want to help them with.
I'll tell you, we're going to celebrate our two-year anniversary. Zahmer is our producer and I of this show coming up later this month, 2 years. One of our most participated in shows, meaning the most calls, the most texts, the one that people really got into the most was a show that we did on mental health. And I think that my family are educators. This has to be one of the biggest critical things facing our public schools today is helping kids deal with mental health issues that too often goes overlooked.
Absolutely. Our teachers in our classrooms in all three of the school districts we're talking about here are phenomenal. I mean, they're dealing with things that we probably wouldn't realize back from when we were in school. And kids are facing a lot. They're bringing a lot of things into the classroom from home, a lot of stressors, a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our public schools are measured on test scores and various factors. And when we have little kids coming into classrooms and big kids, who can't focus on that lesson, that excellent lesson that teacher's presenting, they're not taking that information.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very basic. So,
and unless you folks have the right found, literally figuratively the right foundation, you know, how the heck can we ever expect kids to learn or teachers to do their job if we're not giving if the lights don't work, if the HVAC doesn't work? I mean, if we don't have the right resources in people's hands.
Correct. So we're hoping if our referendum passes, we get to hang on to 8 positions and add 1 position of the past 5 that we've had over the past 5 years, so we can continue to support the kids.
And here's the ridiculous thing, Todd. You've got people on the right who would be like, we need to make education more like a business.
Right.
You know what? Any business in America, if they had people coming in who are suffering mental health challenges, mm-hmm. would be figuring out ways to address it because they wouldn't be productive workers.
Yes.
So, you know, for those who are making that argument on the right, you don't want your students coming in if they're having mental health challenges. If Google had leaky roofs, they'd get the roof fixed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is just... referendum is no way to run schools. Should there be referendums? And here's the thing. Like, this is what I don't understand. Robin Voss, Tony Evers, get in a room and sort it out.
Well off the text line. off the text
get
line.
Get in a room.
Right. Off the text line right now, somebody's asking, why don't they take this $4 billion and do something with I mean, it's because there's just, I don't want to say incompetence, but they're unwilling to work together. Am I right?
I just don't understand it. Like,
Denise, about a minute and a half left. What Wisconsin Public Education Network's done wonderful work. What is the roadblock here in the legislature and the Capitol for using more of this money for public education?
What the roadblock is that you have a legislature right now that gavels in and gavels out and doesn't do anything on these decisions. They're sitting on money that they put in the budget this last cycle of $50 million to go to schools to implement the new reading program. They have not released those funds. They're only paying 32 cents on a dollar, 33.4, I should say, to get it right, to pay for kids with special needs. And our school districts are absorbing the rest of those costs for kids with special needs.
But here's my question for you, Denise.
Yeah.
Are the money that they haven't released, are they running around and touting that they passed the money and then just not releasing it?
Yes.
Voters need to hold people who are doing that accountable. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
If you want
and people,
that change,
you have a chance to do that in 3 days. In 3 days, when people say, what can I do about it to change it? Vote for people who support public education. Period.
Right.
Period.
And vote for these referendums in these school districts across 100%. The state.
Swabbaton, De Pere, and the other Green Bay, 100 plus around the state. Our school boards do God's work. It's thankless work. Educators do that. Wisconsin Public Education Network. Nobody's getting rich here, folks. They are here for our kids.
No, and good people are leaving the school boards because it's become so miserable because they have people out on their lawns protesting what books are in the library. It's
That's
ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. Colleen, Andrea, thank you very much. Really appreciate you being here. Best luck on these referendums. We'll do our part to get people out. Denise, can you stick around?
Yes.
All right, very good. We'll come back. Maybe we'll get Mike Clemens back here at the table as well a little bit. Also, Trinity also will wrap things up from Green Bay. It's the All Show right here live on the Civic Media Radio Edition special Saturday edition.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above
partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your
podcasts.
You're
listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on this special Saturday edition live from the studios of WGBW 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay. Again, many thanks to Todd Michaels, Mino and the mayor, Mark Becker, and Pete Schwabba, and the entire gang up here at Green Bay for making us feel welcome and letting us come in and invade their space for a while. We're wrapping up. We've done it, Trigvy. It's six cities. Well, six cities plus. We've done the show in six cities in 6 days, and we've visited a lot more, and we've gotten to the end of this What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. I want to make sure that we wrap things up properly. Again, a big shout-out to Reed Galen and the union for helping us with the bus transportation. Big shout-out to Chris Giese, our videographer, for being with us all week. Aaron Zommer's back at the home studio, our producer, coming in for a special Saturday show. Without all those folks, we could have never done this. Of course, thanks to Sage Weil and Luke Mathers and Corey Hartman and all the engineers and staff back in Madison for helping make this a reality as well. And of course, all of you for coming out like we did last night here in Green Bay to these meet and greets. I think, Trigvy, as we wrap this up on day six, you'll agree that as we go to the polls here in 3 days, and again, people can go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov, find out where your polling place is. Remember, you can register, same-day registration. There are a couple of larger municipalities where you can still vote early in person today, but then your next chance to vote is going to be on Tuesday at the polls proper. They open up at 7 a.m., close at 8 p.m. Same-day registration is available. But, Trigvy, what makes Wisconsin great, in my opinion, yeah, it's the Green Bay Packers. It's the Wisconsin Badgers. But at the end of the day, it's our people.
100%. I mean, I say it all the time to you, Todd. You know, I've been blessed to get to see a lot of the world, and I've gotten to work in a lot of places, and I've gotten to live in a lot of places. But my favorite place is crossing the bridge to St. Croix River, and it is the people. It's my buddies who you're going to get to meet, who I grew up with in River Falls, and it's them getting to meet and hang out with you and Chris. And, you know, Wisconsin is such a special place, and I say this all the time to listeners. You know, I work in national politics, and I have all these people asking me about democracy and what's going to happen in Wisconsin. If there's a place, and it really is true, Wisconsin is going to be essential in deciding where democracy goes in the U.S. and what kind of country we are. If there's any people in America who have to make that decision, I'm glad it's the people that we've been on talking to.
Yeah,
because people in Wisconsin take that serious.
Denise, you've been knocking doors. You've been involved in public education across the state. What is it to you in your travels and talking to people that you find makes Wisconsin such a great place?
A care and a commitment to people in their neighborhoods and communities. You know, I went to a door that had a lot of signs in front of it, and I walked up to that door and was a little tentative because I was going to be talking about public education and a bit of a concern. And I knocked on the door, and the guy came to the door, and I said, "I'm here to talk to you about our great public schools in Wisconsin, and there's a referendum on the ballot. Oh, we're voting for public schools. We need public schools. We need high-quality public schools." And we find that all over the state.
Mm-hmm. That's
that when push comes to shove, our public schools are at the heart of our communities, mm-hmm. and we need to take and protect that heart and take care of it. And that's what I'm feeling and seeing, is people understand what care and compassion for our public schools is all about, and I think they're going to show up.
Mike Clemens, sports reporter for Civic Media. You travel all over the country. You cover the Packers, the Badgers, the Brewers. What is it in your heart and soul in covering these sports that you come home and you think, you know, Wisconsin's just a great place?
An amazing diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, I'll do one of my favorite things over the weekend in Milwaukee. I'm from the Milwaukee area, is go to the Holiday Folk Fair. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be there, and there will be 30 or 40 different countries represented, yeah. from people, you know, that have connections to these countries and their food, their culture, their dress. the dances that they do, the instruments they bring. And this is something that started in the 30s and 40s because Milwaukee has always been a very diverse community. And you can get in the car and drive 3 hours out into the country to a dairy farm and see a completely different list of priorities and things that people need to do to survive. But if you pay attention and you try and make connections between all those kinds of people, you can understand the world.
Yeah, it's so well said. And that's one of the things I love about sports and athletics is that you can have a diverse group of people come together for one cause. You work towards one thing, a championship. And shouldn't that be, you know, analogous to the way we live our lives outside of sports?
Well, and that's what, like, guys like Aaron Rodgers and other veteran players say about this all the time, is that when they leave and they don't have to report to a locker room anymore, mm-hmm. they miss that group of 53 guys that some are from a very poor family in Florida. Some are from a very well-to-do family with an incredible football program in the well-to-do suburbs of Texas, you know, and Dallas, and all different walks, but they have to pull together and sweat it out and win football games together, and they miss all those kinds of contacts, you know, tastes in music, tastes in all kinds of things. That's a pretty cool experience.
It's super cool.
You know what? I think it's why the Greatest Generation was the Greatest Generation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, boys from all over had to go to boot camp and storm off of boats onto places like Normandy. And the reality of this election is this is our generation's moment of truth, just like they faced it at a very young age.
Yeah.
I think the other thing about Wisconsin, though, is, you know, traditionally what has made Wisconsin great is we don't wear red and blue. We wear green and gold. And we work together on the big things, whether it's our universities and campuses, our public education, conservation, right? Like, those things traditionally have been green and gold issues, not red or blue issues. And we need to recapture that. And I think we are, actually. It's the one thing about the division and some of the challenges that we've faced, it has the potential to really bring us back together in a constructive way if we take the opportunity to do it.
There's a lot of politics going on. Things in Milwaukee last night with Trump, I really didn't feel it was appropriate to get into today on today's show. The vice president was in town yesterday as well. Governor Tim Walz is going to be back here, I think, three times on Monday, Trigvi. There's a lot that's happening politically. But as I said last week, and I'm going to close out today on this six-day tour with this, turn off the TV, even when sports isn't played. Turn off the radio as well, and throw the mailers out. And when you go to vote, listen to your heart. Listen to your gut. Think about who you would like to sit to next to at a Packer game. Think about who you would want as your kid's teacher. And vote for that person. Because you know what to do, Wisconsin. Go to myvote.gov and be a voter. Be a voter. And remember, set back your clocks tonight and enjoy an extra hour of sleep. Trigvi Olson, thank you, my friend. You were spectacular all week long. Thanks for making this happen. Denise, Mike, Chris, Zommers, all of you for listening. We'll see you on Monday in the studio. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum, and go Pack, go.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.